Hello and welcome to another episode of The Meta. I'm your host Jay Larson, and with the surname Larson, my heritage is from Scandinavia, Denmark, and you'd think that I would be able to have on Scandinavian guests without butchering their names, but you would be wrong. And so, continuing the tradition, we have a special guest this week. Jonas Heinonen and
Heinonen, almost
Heinonen. And how bad did I mangle your first name as well?
I think that was actually quite good.
Excellent. Well, I'm making progress.
you're for sure getting there. And in your defense, we have to say that the Finnish language is actually different from all the other Scandinavian languages. So you're fine. You have your excuse. Ah,
well. It would actually be really nice if I was better at foreign languages, but I'm a dumb American who's not. So.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I will say that Scandinavia is definitely pretty high on my bucket list of places I would like to visit.
You should.
All right. Well, Jonas, can you go ahead and introduce yourself again a little bit and say a little bit about yourself?
Sure, and also thanks for having me. So hi, my name is Jonas. This is always the tricky question. I think I'm always giving out different answer, but I feel I've been playing soon almost 10 years of War Machine. I started somewhere in the Mark II. Basically started with Krix, but I was very heavily drawn to Convergence from the get-go. And well, basically I've been playing few factions, but I still keep on coming back to Convergence. I'm not any major tournament winner or anything like that, but I've been representing Finland in the WEDC for a couple of times, and I've made it out at least once on the finals of a relatively big tournament in Europe, so yay.
All right, well, just as a reminder of what our format will be, we will have a conversation for around 45-50 minutes with each other, and then we'll have a bonus episode where we'll do the same thing. And that bonus episode will be available for people who are supporting the Patreon. And just as a heads up, we are going to be in March, at the start of March. The podcast is going to be switching from a per creation podcast to a monthly, or sorry, Patreon, to a monthly Patreon. There's a few oddities with Patreon where that should work a little bit better. So those who are supporting, you'll end up getting your tier unassigned, and you'll have to reassign onto whatever tier you're backing at. So just a heads up, that'll be coming at the start of March, and thank you everyone for the hassles of that. So let's go ahead and dive in. And the first question that we have, all right, so Settlemador, which I believe was just on the Signar podcast, he's got some questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
He says, from your perspective, what are the top meta lists right now, and how do you design your pairing to accommodate for those?
Yeah, well, these easy questions at the start, right? So, well, top meta lists, I've been trying to think about this. I'd call at least Faithful Masses, Flame in the Dark, Strange Bedfellows. I think, I'm not sure of the themes in the Legions, but both Bethane lists with all the virtues, they're pretty horrible, at least for me. Wolves of Winter can be really good. I think there's a lot of good things in the new Trollfall Alliance, the Pigs, Trolls, whatever thing it's called. I have no idea what's the name. And special mention to Scorn, which I still feel is really good overall. And how do I design my pairing? Well, usually I'm a player who picks a caster, and then I play the caster over and over and over again. And everyone hates me because I never play anything different. But in this case, I've been playing relatively same list pair for a bit over a year, like both on board table and on minis, while we still could do it during the last year. But at least my off list, which is Slukant, has been changed quite drastically. And I think I'm looking into now if I should be changing from Aurora 1 to Aurora 2, because I would get a bit more protection out from Aurora 2's commands compared to Aurora 1. But I'm not sure or sold on that yet, so I need to keep on testing. But at least I'm trying to follow up and trying to get the best possible solutions to every new coming problem.
Okay. So his follow-up question is, it seems like the dynamic update to Clockwork Legion got a bit overshadowed by the release of Strange Bedfellows. Are there synergies in Clockwork Legion that you feel people are overlooking? And just for, I guess, a quick update, or not update, but explainer, I guess, for people who might not know all of the themeless names, the Clockwork Legion is more of the unit-based theme list for Convergence, yeah. And then Strange Bedfellows is the cross-faction theme list that just came out with Crix and Convergence. That's a little bit of the new hotness right now.
Yeah, it's like 50 Shades of Angels.
Okay.
So I think overlooking is a bit strong word. I think people who play Convergence do actually realize that there are a few really nice things coming up for the Clockwork Legions. It was always, in a sense, nicer to play because you could get the requisition points as the free jacks, and especially the new 6-point negator lights are really nice picks for those, or just negator angel units, which are really way too good. And I think people actually realize those, but the Strange Bedfellows gives so much more because we actually get in faction or friendly faction voids or death archons possibly in the future, which make it better. But I'd point out that Gas Before, who is the main culprit and nemesis of everything resembling balance in the game, goes there naturally, and it gives buffs to every construct model, which is basically all of the list. So I would be trying out Eradicators and Perforators, so the shooting and the sidestepping heavy infantry units. I think those actually are quite good now.
I guess I'll throw in my own question here real quick, since we're somewhat related to the topic. Let's say that someone has decided that they are, the main thing they know they want to do is play Strange Bedfellows.
Mm-hmm.
So, A, what caster / what list do you think right now is probably the best build for Strange Bedfellows? And B, what do you think is the best off list for that? And that could be in either faction potentially. I guess maybe you don't know as well for
Chris. Yeah, that's also kind of open question. I wouldn't even say that I know which one is the better for the Auroras. I think it's either Aurora 1 or 2 compared to both Mortenebras, which is going to be the strongest caster for the list. Though I admit I lost to Mortenebra 2 with Aurora 1, I think. I'm that good of a player. So I think it's either Aurora, really depending on how your list builds up. But my initial idea was that I was running Aurora 1 with a lot of infantry, but the infantry is really fragile in the Strange Bedfellows. So I was running 3 units of Negator Angels and 2 units of Mac Thralls with 3 Brooch Eats. So my off-list had to be something that's really, really good versus shooting. So I was running Lucant and Clockwork Legions, basically all jacks. And that was my list pairing, with the idea that Lucant catches everything which has a lot of good spells or good shooting with Deceleration and the armor feat. But you can also do that with Crix. I just personally want to play Convergence, so I go for Lucant with Crix. Either Aurora, really depending if you want to do more all-arounder-ish, then I think you should take Aurora 2 and something else with it, even with Convergence. But if you want some anti-shooting thing, you should play like Scar 3 or maybe Asphyxis 3 with all the Slayers. I don't know. That's a bit out of meta, though.
Mm. All right. Well, going back to the patron questions again from Seto Major. He says, from the outside looking in, the Auroras look quite similar. What are their key differences, and what kind of matchup fits one of the Auroras but not the other?
Yeah, so I basically listed down the differences, and in my opinion, I could say that Aurora 1 has better way of gaining the board space. She has the Aurigenesis spell, which makes everyone be faster each turn, and in a sense, it's on Aurora 1, the list dictates more on the threat competition between the two lists. But the downside is that it's not a very defensive list in a sense, whereas Aurora 2 is also giving with the Ascension Command, especially the defensiveness that the list requires, but it also has this burst element into built into it with the feet. I'm not sure which lists I would point out to be, or which archetypes I would like to point out now, which is better versus which, but I'd say if you're afraid of guns, go Aurora 2.
Okay. Next question. He asks, what does Convergence offer in terms of off-list to Strange Bedfellows that is better than Mercs, in your opinion?
I'd say Lucant. Lucant is really good versus the guns and the magics. And, of course, you can build a really good gun line with Orion, arguably with Iron Mother, but I wouldn't go there. She's just not there, comparing that she's the leader of the faction. She doesn't know what she's doing on the battlefield. And also, something that's not been seen in a while, I think, is the recursion engine that Convergence got known in Mark II, the Axis tier. It's now playable with everything, and I still think that you could do it, especially with the Gatsby 4, giving the guys even more extension for their charges.
Okay, and so the final question he asks is 10. A good number of tessellators to run with Orion?
This is a very tricky question. I think it's a nice number. It's a nice round number, but I'll accept 14 as well because that's the maximum you can get.
Sorry, how many did you say?
14.
14, okay.
Yes. There's nothing else. Hey, you can get 14.
All right. So next question, this is from Zach Witten. He says, I like running vectors. How can I have the most fun running vectors?
Well, that depends a lot on the play style he prefers, I think. So basically the difference is going to be between shooting and melee lists. So if you really want to go for shooting, go for Orion. That's just really good. You can build basically any shooting jack, and Orion pumps them to next level. And if you want to go to melee, I'd pick either Axis, Lucant, or Locke. And then there's this interesting idea of building a kind of a hybrid thing. So maybe run Aurora 2 or Lock with some shooting and some melee jacks, because they both can buff at least a bit of both. Or okay, then just take Lucan and then have both Super Juniors and do something with those. That's really a melee list, I guess.
Okay. He says, I have two TEPs, which is the Transfinite Emergent Projectors, which is the battle engine. And he says, I think they're super cool. Is there any sort of list build that works with one or even two of them now?
Yeah, this was the question I was really having a problem when I read this first time, because I really would like to give you an answer where you can actually run one of those like properly. Uh-huh. But at the moment, I'm not sure if you can justify the points costs. And it's... its gun is really good. I'm not claiming it's bad or anything like that, but it's still going to be only few spray tens. So the threat range is actually something that you're struggling a lot with. It's not going to be able to shoot at things and stay out of the threat range of those things. And especially in the newer meta where there's a lot of things that's a threat super far and actually are even really tanky, like Archons, for instance, they are not in a very great spot. So basically, if you would like to really play TEPs 1 or 2, I think the only way I would ever play them myself would be the old Axis list in Destruction Initiative, which is the Jack theme, because you can get the Shield Guard solos for the balls, and Axis's feet prevents charging, which might save the TEPs for one turn. But I'd point out, it's points-wise, it's not quite there at the moment.
Yeah, there was a long time where Jason Watt had played Axis and played one or two TEPs with...
Yeah.
With him, and it worked pretty well, it does seem like the value of them has maybe diminished a little bit.
Yeah, I think that, like, if the memory serves, it was like when there was the themeless Mark III machine, then they were played like one, at when the Destruction Initiative came out, it was possibly two, and then came the infamous era of the Galvanizer spam. So then there was again just one and basically zero after it.
Okay, so next question from Zach. My phone went crazy. One second. He says, what are the first 3 to 5 purchases that you recommend for a new player?
Yeah, okay. Naturally, this is very restrictive thinking, like what the player actually wants to play. But I just popped out a few things. And I think this first pick actually points out the issue in the faction now. And it's Gas Before, because that guy is so goddamn good. Secondary would be the Corollary. You really want to get your induction engine going on. Thirdly, I picked a Frustrum Locus, which is the, let's say, Enigma Chassis solo for 4 points. You get to provide some cover from magic for your guys, and it has Blessed Magical Gun, which has Dispel on hit, and it can boost. So it's really good. Really good solo, in a sense, and really durable, 10, 18, and 10 boxes. With Frustrum Locus, and there's like two other selections. I couldn't rank these ones. So it's either Frustrum Locus, Optifex Directive, which is the repairing slash whatever unit, because they give so many things. If you want to play heavies or jacks, you need those guys to basically be giving you Pathfinder or fixing or whatever. And lastly, either Aurora, if you want to go just like tournament lists.
All right. So the next question that Zach has is, I've heard the new floaty vectors are good. How many do I need to buy and in what combination of them? And can you talk Jay into giving me a discount on a bulk order?
So I think we should tackle first the interesting one. So Jay, can I talk you into giving him a discount on a bulk order?
See, the thing about Discount Games Inc. is that our everyday low prices make it difficult to go lower.
Okay. The only thing missing is the Dank Dune meme.
It's true, yes.
Okay. I personally have bought only 6 of the Negators, so the melee ones, and I think those should be quite good for most of the lists. On Tessellators, I'm not personally sure. I think with 4 you can get many, many lists work really well, but also you can buy the 10 and play 10. Mark Arnold the Blank may answer you how to drive 10 Tessellators under Orion.
How good slash how fun do you think the all Tessellator all the time list is?
I mean, if you like rolling dice, it's really funny, I guess. I think it's quite good because the opponent has to be really careful about not dying to an assassination. That's a stupid amount of shots. So each of them can shoot 4 times. And with the Orion's feet, that's actually really scary. It's red 7 and based on if you have Fury slash focus on you, if it's boosted damage, additional dice on hit or damage, so it's nothing to sneeze at. And if you would like, I don't know, maybe not 10, but let's say if you go 8 them and have few heavies, so you can actually start taking down even the bigger things. Naturally, Orion is really hindered now with the Infernals if someone plays them, because the essence is not actually triggering anything in the feet.
Mm. It does help that it seems like there's been maybe a little bit of a downtick in Infernal since the update that they received.
I have to say, I have no idea when I've seen them last time.
Yeah.
Slight.
All right, so next question from Zach. He says, after several years as a limited faction, does conversion still run like a clock, or is it more a fancy Rolex or a cheap knockoff?
Well, I think it's naturally a Rolex made out of diamonds.
Okay, well, there we go. All right, so Zap Brannigan has some questions for you. He says, have you played or dojoed Convergence in Brawl Machine? Are there any casters, jacks, units, etc. that are subpar at 75 points that shine in a smaller point format?
I did actually play one Brawl Machine. I didn't realize this part of the question, but I played Iron Mother Directrix and Aurora 1 Thebless. Because this was a league we actually got a few new players starting, which is next to a miracle here in Finland. But subpar. I'm not sure if, well, Syntharion can be actually quite good, and he's not going to be very great on the 75 points, but I guess the reconstruct slash synergy spamming some lights could be decently good on the smaller scale games, I think. I have to say I haven't done too much dojoing or playing of the Brawl Machine, but I do love the idea. I think it's really nice thing that has happened, but I haven't done it myself. I thought of two casters I would try this out. Naturally, this is to oppress everyone else, so it would be either Lock or Axis, because those guys have really stupid feats for the smaller games.
Then he also asks, any recommended purchases for someone looking to start Convergence? And he says either Brawl Machine or just jumping in at 75 points. So
yeah, basically, yeah, we had this question. I just wanted to point out here again about the Gatsby 4 and Corollary. And the Gatsby 4 is a guilty pleasure in a sense, because it's actually really a bit too good at the moment, especially for Convergence, where almost everything is construct. It's almost a mandatory thing nowadays.
Yeah.
But if you're going for a Brawl Machine, do buy the Corollary. I think that's a really good place to start with the induction tricks and trying to learn that thing.
So his next question is, assuming that the Handhold Scrolls are correct and the Great Work was quote-unquote corrupted to send people off to make Warcaster, what do you think will be the goals of Convergence during the Requiem era?
This was actually a really nice question. Made me really think. So I think the first and foremost thing would be to unify the Convergence back again. So we remember from the stories that Iron Mother almost got killed, which is also a great segue to point out that maybe they actually now can build her a chassis that makes her shine the game. But outside than unifying the faction, I think they just need to, in a sense, cleanse all the corrupt things out of the Great Work and keep on building that, trying to reach the other convergence of Cyrus cults from Imorim.
Okay, so the next set of questions is from Jacob. And he says, what changes, if any, have you made in your list building with Convergence and why?
Okay, so basically I pointed out this earlier on, maybe it was Daniel's questions. And I think the biggest thing that has already happened is that my lookout list changed from the last time I was here. So that is a really big thing. I was running at the time, I think I had Inverter, 5 Negators, and 2 Stalkers on Gatsby 4. So now I don't have any heavies under lookout, but Gatsby has 2 freebooters. And I have also 2 Steel Soul Protectors, because those guys are relatively durable and cheap solos that have shield guard within them. So that list feels a lot more generalist, so it can drop into things that are not only only relying on good guns. I've been playing a lot with that list versus, for instance, the new troll slash arrow theme, because the champions are a bit annoying. But also with Lucant, you can make, for instance, the freebooters be mat 8 PS 18 quite easily, which is really good. The second thing is that I'm debating at the moment if I can justify playing Aurora 1 as much anymore. There's a lot of blasts and a lot of skaters and stuff like that coming up in the game now. And the McThrall list of mine is not optimal versus those, especially with the blasts. So I'm thinking more and more about Aurora 2, which at least has a little bubble to protect the fragile models from the mean blasts.
Okay. The next question. He asks, what is your current list pairing? I guess you can probably do a little bit deeper dive into the pairing and explain some of your strategies behind it as well.
Oh, okay, sure. So I think we could go for the Lucant first, because that's the easiest. So Lucant list is Lucant has Corollary and 6 Negators. As solos, I have Destructor Thron 3000, Frustrum Locus, 2 Void Archons, Hermit of Henchhold, 2 Algorithmic Dispersion Optifexes, and 2 Steel Soul Protectors. Then I have Gatsby 4, who has those 2 freebooters, and a unit of Optifex Directive. So the idea is that the freebooters are actually very durable, and they are a bit faster, a bit more trustworthy compared to Stalkers. Stalkers are really good at taking things out, but with the freebooters, it comes with so many boxes comparatively cheap price, so I can actually trust that those pieces get there where they need to go. I had issue, especially when I was playing versus Legion and Bethane 1, which has the really good Archangel. so that the Stalkers were just shut down from the table before they could actually do anything. So it was playing basically 16 points down versus those things. And Lucant, especially with that melee heavy brick, is really good just slamming in the opponent's face, feeding, and it's not very nice experience trying to grind through all those things. Second list, I think we could go to Aurora 1. Let me just open it up. So I wish I could remember what I had last time, but basically it's almost the same. So it's Aurora 1. And I had a Valkyrie of 2 mules, and now I've just swapped the second mule to be a Mariner, because the Mariner actually provides even further shooting, and it has treasures and a bit better defensives. Its only downside is that it actually needs infantry model, or warrior model, friendly warrior model to be within 1 inch if it wants to shoot. But in this list, it's not an actual issue. Then I have 2 Void Archons, Hermit, Frustum Locus, and Perfect Hypatia, so the new Angel solo. 2 units of Mechanithralls, and they are mini units, and both of the units have 3 Brute Thralls in them. So those are actually the hitting power, and they are also 6 Shield Guards for the list, so I can protect some of the key pieces if needed. I have Asphyxius, and Asphyxius is running either Shrike or Scavenger. I'm not yet sure which one I like. Traditionally, I've used a lot more Shrike, but I think the Scavenger could be better on this list because I have so many attacks already. And lastly, I have 3 units of Negation Angels. So this list does just what it sounds like it's doing. It's jamming all the infantry in your face, and when you're trying to engage and slash kill or something them, either you're going to be triggering the voids or going to be threatening, was it 23 inches to melee if everything goes perfectly. And then as Aurora can just feed and everything flies over the front row, and kill stuff in the back line, or then I can just zone out people from the scenario zones, which is my preferred playing style. In a sense, I kind of like playing scenario without laying. I think the other guy played the scenario. And lastly,
go ahead.
Yep. Lastly, I have Aurora 2. So this battle group is basically, actually, this is the old list. Where's my new one? Let me try and find it quickly. I think this battle group was initially invented by Marc or André Leblanc. I cannot take the credit for it, but it's basically Aurora 2, 3 Negators, Corollary, and it was Toro, but I swapped the Toro to be Mangler because the free charge and the treasure is something that you really want to exploit. Then I have 2 Void Archons, Perfect Hypatia, Frustum Locust, 1 ADO, Algorithmic Dispersion of Defects. I have Gaspy, so Asphyxius 4, and he has Scavenger. Then I have 3 units of Negation Angels and 3 units of Clockwork Angels. And this list is a bit more balanced version. It's a bit more defensive approach on the Aurora 1 list. So it's really, really good still with all of its horribly long threat ranges. And it really is even better zoning out things because it can actually take some shots and ignore those with the Ascension command. And when you actually need to get something destroyed, it is very doable with the feet, which gives even more power. The downside is that you cannot actually get stuff running over the front rows to engage stuff or kill stuff in the back lines. And you cannot get the Hermit bring the minus armor aura up to 20 inches, but I think it's more safe bet in general, at least feels like it during these last games I've been playing.
So I guess diving in a little bit deeper on the pairing, what do you end up feeling was are the matchups that end up being the ones that are the most difficult or maybe dodges, and what matchups are ones that you feel most comfortable with?
Oh, dodges. I'm not sure if I'm thinking anymore about dodges. I'm always terrified of the siege, but we've now tested and proved that the Lucan can play in the siege, at least if I can get to go first. When I'm going to meet the list in tournament and lose the dodging roll, I'll have to see how it actually goes. But Other than that, I'm not sure if I have specifically any dodges. I think there are really so many so good lists at the moment that I cannot be thinking about dodging anything, but rather how I'm going to deal with it. But it feels my lists are actually quite okay, especially into... I like my game into the Tharn. I like my game into the Wolves of Winter. I think slower jack-heavy lists I can deal decently with. I'm not entirely sure about the new Trollbloods because the barrage teams are actually a bit problematic for me, but I think I can play versus those as well. All in all, I'd say I think my pairing gives me a really good chance to play into anything, and everyone is very free to correct me and prove me wrong on this, but it doesn't feel like there's anything that I have no chance of defeating at the moment.
And that's pretty good position to be in for a pairing, usually, or yeah, at least a lot of times. I mean, the game's gotten so broad that
yes,
it's really difficult to feel like you've have all your bases covered. But
I'm sure you have noticed by this point that I'm constantly pointing out that I really dislike how good the Gasp Before is. I mean, I have to be honest about it. I think big part of the strength in my list comes from that guy because he's a guy that I can provide just enough support or defensiveness or buffs that make him shine like never before. But I think that guy is actually carrying a lot of the weight of the lists. And he brings so much versatility in basically any situation because I have the Cloud Wall on a stick. I have a humongously hardly hitting, relatively good map model that can actually threat quite far by himself. And he's actually providing me some threat extension. I think so many things are built on him at the moment. But it's not also only good thing, in my opinion.
So, I mean, I guess let's go ahead and let's dive in now, I guess, and talk a little bit more about Asphyxius 4. So, I guess to start off, you said that there's some ways that it feels like he's kind of propping up your list. What are some of the strengths that he brings to your list? Why is he so overpowering? What are usually things that you're trying to do with him that are difficult for your opponents?
I think it's the combination, especially with the coming of the war table and with the WETC and stuff like that, where the terrain is actually plentiful. And the cloud wall on a snap of fingers is so very strong, and it's actually even better cloud wall in the sense that if you run through it, you're going to take damage or corrosion. I can't remember which one it is because nobody ever does run through it. But the main thing is that he provides the bloodthirsty for the constructs. And the issue with that is that you never have to actually commit Asphyxius in a sense that he would be in a risk of dying because only the model you own, your guys need to be within 9 inches of Asphyxius to get the benefit. I think it could be interesting if it would be fixed in such a way that they would actually just change the wording in such a way that Asphyxius has to be within command range of the enemy models it wants to provide the bloodthirsty for, or something like that. I think the issue is that Asphyxius provides threat extension with basically zero risk of dying on most of the games.
Yeah. So if you are if you're someone who's playing against Asphyxius 4, what are some of the things you need to watch out for, and what's some of the counterplay that is hopefully effective against him?
Line of sight blocking is always good, but it's also kind of two-edged blade in the sense that you're most likely blocking yourself from it. I guess the best thing would be if you can draw out and make your opponent commit Asphyxius to something and have some nasty trick that leaves Asphyxius stranded alone in the middle of the field. But I have to admit, I have really hard time of actually figuring out what's a good counterplay that Asphyxius for. Can you come up with one?
Do you... I guess it's difficult to get into the mind of developers. Do you think that it should be? I mean, it seems like you do. Do you think you think that it should be adjusted some? Do you think it's very likely that it will?
I think PP has been, in a sense, doing a good job that they eventually do balance things out. And I want to point out that I don't hate the model and I don't hate the idea behind it. I think it shouldn't be just as free of taxation from your opponent, because now it feels that you just bring him, run him behind a forest, and it's providing a huge bubble of threat extension for everything in my list. So I think it should include some kind of a risk that you would have to at least halfly commit as fixes to something, because with 14 points, even if you have to buy the light or whatever, it's quite cheap compared to that almost army-wide threat extension and having the bully or melee monster, especially in the later rounds.
Okay, well, let's
and every creature.
I guess do you have any other thoughts or things to say about Asphyxius 4? Mike, let's say hello to you.
Yeah, hi, Kat. I have one too. I don't know where it is. I think I've said enough. I think it's nice that we have these kinds of new super dudes and super models. I really do like them, and I like that we have a model that actually engages and is a big threat and just like things like that. But please just try and figure out a way of toning him down so that he's not utterly crap or useless and he's not going to die to a stiff breeze. But so in such a way that he actually needs to commit at least on some level into the game, because at the moment it's a bit free transaction for that.
Okay, well, let's go back to Jacob's questions.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll preface this. I'll preface this, I guess, by saying that Jacob is someone who loves big bases and he cannot lie. And so he has a question about Nemo 4 with the blockader. He says, do you feel it has legs? Is the diffuser required with that pairing? So it's obviously it's something that he would, I'm assuming, because he loves big bases, would like to make possible. But what can you say to him?
Depending if you have the diffuser or not, it's going to have either 8 or 11 legs. But I think you should go for the Gatsby 4, which I was bashing all the podcast on at this point, because it's just better there. But Nemo's spell kit gives basically straightly one good buff, which is the whatever lightning treacherous or whatever the spell is called. So lightning immunity and lightning plus 2 strength, I think. And then the... what's the effect that Sugnar has? I forgot the name now. Electrodes? Yeah. Gives electrodes for the melee. Yeah. I think that's really good. But it's also really expensive package. It's like 50 points or something like that. So it's going to be half of your list. So Nemo can't really protect Blockader. Blockader, in a sense, protects Nemo by being just close by, but you cannot cast the movement spell. The Watcher can be evaded with... Blockader, because it cannot move outside of its own activation. Okay, it can shoot, I think, but still, I think it's a slight miss on that part. On the other hand, if you take it under Gatsby, you do remember there's this thing called Malign Alignments, which is the rule on Asphyxius 4, which gives his battle group Dark Shroud, and also his battle group's Jax can spend focus from Asphyxius 4 if they are base to base. So you can first fly Asphyxius somewhere and then charge the blockader wherever it needs to go and to be base to base with the Gatsby 4, and it can be actually focus 6 colossal. On the diffuser question, I used to love the diffusers a lot. I think the idea behind the diffuser is really good, and it's actually a decently okay gun with the rerolling. But I think on threat extension, it's not very likely that you are going to get it off nowadays. I think there's so much shield guards in the meta, so you would need to bring at least 2 or 3 to be sure that you get the shot out into the target what you need to have it for.
I guess I'll do a follow-up question for Jacob, since I know he usually asks this question. But what do you think is the most effective list that you can get the most large and huge bases on the table with?
What convergence? Oh, that's a tricky one. That's really tricky. I know that people have been playing, this was a few years back, but I know that people have been playing Iron Mother Directrix with Prime Axiom and 2 Teps, but there's basically 0 defensive side on that list. But the point was that the Teps clear everything that they need to clear and make it so that the Prime Axiom can drag whatever it needs to drag in and kill it there.
Right, yeah.
Then you could try maybe Orion with double Prime Conflexes. I'm not sure if you're going to get third. Maybe you can try double Prime Conflexes and this, what's the guy? Nemo 4, you could try that one out, right? Axis, you can try running double Colossals because they can threat actually quite far, especially if they are with Guess Before in the list. And you could try Lucant with whatever Colossals you want to try, but I'm not sure if those are going to be the best lists in a sense.
So, I mean, I guess kind of on this same topic is mm-hmm. there was, you know, I played a fair bit of Convergence in the earlier days of Convergence, and mm-hmm. the Prime Axiom was a pretty regular jack that made my list. I wouldn't say everyone by any means, but do you feel like the meta has just moved on from that, or do you find many places for it in your list? What are your thoughts on that?
Actually, this is one of the sorest spots I have in the faction. I really like the Prime Axiom. I think it's one of the big reasons I initially also fell in love with Convergence Mark II. I think the issue is that it costs 37 points, which is really expensive. And the meta, in sense, has gone over it, that there are things like Blockader, which costs 33 points, and it's actually better in many things with random amount of spray 10s and 4 inches of melee threat, so it's threatening 12 inches by itself. And also, I think Prime Action pays a lot of points for the auto drags and the solo dropping. You can figure out the list for it. It's not utterly useless. It's almost utterly useless, but it's too expensive at the moment, and it's for a shooting Colossal, it does like next to nothing damage to armor 20 targets. It has 5x power, 11 guns, and 2 auto points, but it cannot drag anything. You can either use the objectives to prevent the drag, or put models in front of it, or put models base to base, which basically makes dragging almost impossible. There's so many counterplays to it, I think, that it's not seeing the table time anymore.
Yeah. So I guess another question in the same vein is the Prime Conflux released, and it never really saw much play at all when it released, and it got an update, and it still doesn't seem like it's seen much in the way of play. Am I correct on that? And if so, why do you think that is?
I think it had a little playtime, let's say around 2 years ago. At least I was playing Orion with Prime Conflux and 5 modulators, the electricity spam, which was really good. I think it could be still played, but in a sense, the power 11 shots are maybe not as good, especially with the coming of the tessellators. Prime Conflux is a really weird thing. It paid out for instance from the instead of sustained attack, it has this super weird rule of the whatever it's called, the rule. I have no idea what's the rule's name, but you make D3 power 10 electrical damage rolls on targets on your initial melee hits. So it's very hard to understand, like, what's the point behind it. It has 2 guns, the diffuser beacon gun, so range 11, power 11, lucky. And if you hit it, it's a beacon, so you can charge for free and get 2 inches of distance, which is actually quite nice. And then it has the massive big gun, which is whooping power 13. So you can get it all up to power 15 if you have the solo running to the target. But it has range of 15, so it cannot shoot up to 20 inches every turn. But you basically have 3 focus, so you can shoot one, you can reload it, but basically you want to also boost the hit or damage. So in a sense, it's a bit miss, I think. It's very, very, it's a piece that requires certain lists to be working well, I think.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to pause there. We'll continue the conversation in the bonus episode, and we will We've still got a bunch of patron questions that we'll ask, and then I'll have some for you to finish things out. Mm-hmm. So, as always, check out Discount Games Inc. Check out Muzon Minis and get all your gaming needs purchased there. And if you're not subscribed yet to the Patreon, do so, and you can hear the rest of the conversation. And to close things out, I just wanted to thank you, Eunice, for being willing to share your time and share your knowledge with us. It's something that everyone appreciates very much.
Thank you for having me.